Christian. Is that all right? Matthew chapter 9. It presents some interesting life lessons and people, personalities, where they had to demonstrate faith. The first example or the first life story that we have is recorded in Matthew 9, verses 2 through 8. We will have others that we'll share with you. And the scripture reads, "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy," that is, he was paralyzed, "lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemes. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven you, or to say, Arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house." And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such authority or power unto men. Amen for God's word. I want to speak on the subject, looking beyond the circumstance. Amen. Looking beyond the circumstance. There are a couple of things that we must do or that we must reflect on. If we're going to receive anything from God, we've got to believe in the goodness of God. The goodness of God. The goodness of God. If you're going to get past where you are right now, you got to trust in the goodness of God. Some of you would testify, if it had not been for the goodness of God, God's mercy, His kindness, I would not have gotten out of my situation. And even though I'm not where I ought to be, and I'm not where I possibly could be, thank God I'm not where I used to be. Anyone have that testimony? So we've got to think about the goodness of God. It is impossible for you to have faith in God without believing that God is good. The prayer that little children learn to pray, God is what? Great. And God is good. He's good. God cannot change that nature of being good. Jesus said, there's none good or perfect but God. But it is the goodness of God that you and I need to reflect on. And people say He's good all the time. And all the time, God is good. But let me take that a step further. God is good to everyone. You say, wait a minute, preacher. I know some people that God hadn't been good to. Are you sure you know what you're talking about? Amen. God cannot change His nature. There are people who have not responded to the goodness of God. There are situations in this world where evil people will make you think that God is not good, but God is still good. Amen. He cannot change His nature. He cannot change the essence of who He is. And we're going to see as we move forward in time toward the fulfillment of all things that, yes, God is perfectly good. There is no error in him at all. But not only is God good to everyone, because he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's the goodness of God to the entire world. Everyone doesn't receive that because they're not in a position or in a frame of mind to where they can get to that. All right? I want to take you somewhere, so bear with me. The second thing about God's goodness, not only is he good to you and me, and we can expect the goodness of God, but I want to tell you that it's very, very important that we understand that the goodness of God actually moves God to seek you. I just went deep. I lost somebody. I just went deep. I lost somebody. You didn't seek God. God sought you. The purpose for Christ condescending, coming into this world, getting down on our level, was not so that you could just, okay, yeah, he's the God man. He came looking. The Son of Man came to seek that which was lost. Is that good theology? Is that all right? So this good God, who is good to everyone, is also in a pursuit to find, to seek, and to save that which was lost. This is God. This is his goodness. So who can say that person doesn't deserve the goodness of God? Wait a minute. Or that those folk over there, they don't deserve the goodness of the Lord. Wait a minute. You're getting in a chair that you don't belong in. You're in the throne and you're judging a situation just because they've done this or that or this and that doesn't mean you should write them off. Now, what happens here? What happens here? So often when people cannot see the goodness of God, they stop trying. They say, forget God, even though God can't forget you. They start saying to themselves, I'm not going to church anymore because church doesn't work. Nobody told you that a building's going to work for you anyway. It's the movement of God's spirit. Are y'all still with me? Just stay with me a little while and I'll try to make this thing plain to you. So people end up in a state of paralysis because you need God, but you don't want to call on God and you can't move without him. So you just, you can't go anywhere. You have rejected the very source of power, of energy that can move you to the place where you need to be. Am I making a good point here? The goodness of God, the goodness of God. God is good all the time to you and to me, to everybody. He pursues you. You didn't pursue him, even though you responded to that. You said, oh, this is God. Yeah, he's talking to me. Let me pay attention. Let me make sure that he has my undivided and full attention. Are y'all still with me? Listen to what the psalmist wrote. He said, I would have fainted if I had not believed to see what? The goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Have y'all ever had so many problems? Matter of fact, some people, as a response to different difficulties, they just gone. They can't stand it. Something overwhelms them and it just takes them. And next thing you know, they passed out. Amen. All right. Passed out. And in that state, they're in a paralysis. You can understand as we visit this text where this man was. He was in a state of paralysis. He thought nobody cared. He felt as if life is over. But four friends. Thank God for friends. They didn't come to tell you what, I didn't want to go there right now. They didn't come to judge you. They didn't come to tell you where you're wrong. They didn't come to evaluate your situation, put you down and tell you you deserve what you're getting. You know what they do? They just come and they just pick you up. I didn't want to go there just yet, but thank God for the four friends that came to this man. Because he had fainted. Truth be known, some of us go into situations where we just, oh man. And all of a sudden somebody comes along and says, come on, get up, come on. And they're just stumbling, but they say, come on. But you see, I don't need you to judge me. I don't need you to tell me I can't walk. I can't walk right now, but if I can get somebody to walk with me, help me. Don't tell me what I did wrong. I know I did wrong. I don't need to reflect on the past. I just need a friend. Anybody need a friend?
That's it.
Yeah. I just need somebody. Someone who understands the goodness of the Lord. Now, I don't expect them. I'm not going to take advantage of them and fake falling just so they can grab me. I'm not going to do that. But I am going to need them to help me get to the goodness of God. Is that all right? Now, that's my whole sermon, but I got to go in and put in the fillers now. Now, you know, we got to go in and put the fillers in, and we got to kind of tell you about it, because that's where a lot of people are in their journey. And that's what church should be. Church should be a place where you got some friends. But you and I know we got plenty of sense and probably enough of church experience to know that everybody is not. Oh, didn't mean to say that, but I don't want you all to get taken by surprise and you think everybody is your friend. Because some of them, they smile. Yeah, but when you need them, yeah, you can't find them. Touch somebody and say, I told y'all we weren't going to touch anybody. Touch somebody you know and you can trust and tell them, I need a friend. So this text is very, very interesting. I want you to look at it for just a minute. I want you to look at the text. Notice the words that have to do with seeing or perception. The first one is in verse 2, and behold. That means to look or perceive. He's telling us, the writer of this gospel, Matthew, is telling us, look at this. Look at what he's telling you. This is what happened. This is the situation. I almost ran past the scripture because I was saying, I kind of preached that before. I don't want to do that. And God said, wait a minute, you need to look at it. So he's inviting you and me in this flock, in this congregation this morning, to look at what happened to this person. He said, there was a man who was paralyzed. There was a man who was paralyzed, but the good news is that even though he was lying on this stretcher and was coming, the first thing you look at is you see him. You see the man. Mm-hmm. All right, y'all with me? Now, and it's easy for you to think because I see the man and he is not standing up or he's not doing what he should to say that he is less than a man. Are y'all looking? Do you see what I'm saying? I don't want to carry you too deep into this, but you gotta know that. Just because I reflect a weakness doesn't mean I can't be fixed. Amen. Did y'all see what I said? Because a whole lot of times folks will come back to the church and they got bandages on or they're walking on crutches, you know, and they're trying to get back in the church, get into the rhythm of things, and what we'll do is we... I can't make it like that. Every now and then I've come to church and I was on crutches. You didn't see them, but I was on crutches. I was real close to being paralyzed. And I certainly didn't need one of these. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? I'm on crutches. I don't want to get into, but do y'all see what I'm saying? Okay, all right, let me move on now. The next verse that we have that it tells us to behold, it says that when you're looking, it says the man had palsy lying on a bed, and Jesus seeing, he saw not the man having faith. But look at it, it's in your Bible. Look at what's in my Bible. It says, and Jesus seeing their faith. Whose faith? The faith of the ones who were bearing him up. The faith of the ones who were carrying them. This man is so paralyzed, he can't even believe. What the verse say in Psalm? It says, I would have fainted. But thank God, before you pass out, there's some folk in the church we call catchers. Huh? I got you. You know, just like a catcher, he's getting ready to catch. I got you. They see you falling.
Yeah.
And they'll say, I'm coming to help you. Is this helping anybody?
Yeah.
All right, so now look at the next one. It says in verse 3, and behold, in other words, pay attention here. Look at what's happening. And behold, certain of the scribes. Now, evidently, something has got on their nerve. Because Jesus looked at their faith and said to the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And you know what these people did? I'm sorry. They didn't see God's goodness. They didn't see that. You see, the man needed to know that his sins were forgiven. Am I right? So Joe, when Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you, as a matter of fact, some of us would say, well, I got problems trying to forgive people. Number one, don't you expect God to forgive you? Last time I read Matthew 18, it says, whoever sins you remit, they're remitted in heaven. Which means I can tell Miss Jessie, your sins are forgiven you. People look at me and say, well, who are you to forgive sin? I'm just doing what the Bible says I got authority to do. Yeah. That's some good stuff right there. Yes, sir. So they come up and now they got problems with Jesus because Jesus tells the man what he really needs. In other words, I didn't want to go here either, but Jesus looked beyond his fault and saw his what?
Need.
You know it. I could sit down, but y'all know I ain't gonna sit down yet. I just got warmed up. So we're looking at people who are seeing the same situation, and the four friends, they see he's gonna get help. Jesus said, your sin is your problem. Jesus forgives his sin, and other folk got problem with this man solving the problem. Man, I tell you. And so it doesn't stop there. Meanwhile, you got a crowd of people who are looking around. What's going to happen next? You got the disciples looking, oh, man, they done crossed Jesus the wrong way here. They don't know who they're messing with. They're messing with Jesus here. So they're kind of looking like, whoa, man. You know how it was when your brothers and sisters got in trouble and you knew they were going to get a whipping? And so you just got, oh, man, I'm going to stick around for this boy. But the man needed God's goodness.
Yeah.
And I know that God can bless you anywhere, anytime. But he ought to be able to especially bless you in the household of faith.
Amen.
So what you and I need to work on and develop is an atmosphere. That's the word I want. An atmosphere where forgiveness flows.
Amen.
Goodness of the Lord flows. When you walk in this place, you can just feel the goodness of the Lord. You say, great God Almighty. Ah, something is in this place. Something is here because I feel the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm going to get to you and I, because right now you all are bystanders. You're just kind of, you're like the crowd. You're just kind of looking. You're not the scribe, because, you know, you kind of saying, I ain't going to say that, but yeah, I know he was messed up. As a matter of fact, I know what got him paralyzed. I saw that, but I ain't gonna say he doesn't need something, because then I'd be judging him, and I got my own problems. You know, folks in the crowd won't help, because they said, look, I'm trying to work on me. I would take time for you, but I ain't got me straight yet. No, don't say that. So you see where I'm going? See where I'm going with this? Spiritual paralysis. It's caused by sin. Notice I didn't say physical paralysis, because I don't have the authority to say that. I can tell you, based on the authority of Scripture, that spiritual paralysis has one root cause, and that's sin. People can say, well, I talked to God and he didn't answer my prayer, and so therefore I don't believe in him any longer. You got sin. You know what that sin is? It's called doubt. You're doubting the goodness of the Lord, even though all you got to do is look up and you see, well, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. Watch this. Then you can start looking at the goodness of God. Well, God's blessing over there. God's blessing that person back there. God's blessing this person back. It's not long before God sends a blessing your way. Just because it doesn't come when you want it to. Can I tell you what Grandma said? Grandma said, he may not come when you want him to, but he's always on time. You're going to get that's the reason why you're still living. Matter of fact, if the goodness of the Lord wasn't still working, people say, I don't know whether God is good. Well, why did you get up this morning? You are one step closer to seeing the goodness of God manifested in your life. Don't faint on me. Touch somebody and say, don't faint now. Don't faint. We're getting close to this thing. We're getting close. We're getting close. We're getting real close. Real close. It's coming my way. I don't know who I'm ministering to today, but receive it. Because you need to know of the goodness of God. You're probably looking at a lot of difficulties and a lot of situations and just plain, flat out, can I say it? Just plain old mess. Just plain old mess. Just plain old stuff happening. And God's forgiveness is the cure. It is the cure. I came to church this morning not because I had to preach a sermon, but I needed to be with the saints of God. I needed to be with my friends so that we could work on each other. You encourage me, I'm going to encourage you. And we're going to encourage each other in the Lord. Amen. And when we leave here today, we're going to leave different. That stuff I brought in with me. And I'm going to tell you something. Sin is heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Here you come with your burden. I'm going to put it back. And you pick. Oh, Lord. You come out to church on Sunday. You can see these. Oh, you know what you need to do? Just take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. All right. So that's what you got to do. Now, I want to talk about something. Matthew 9 and 2, it actually talks about your sins being forgiven. That is the core scripture. And it has to be, because that is the one significant thing. Even though Jesus came back and said something else, what prompted him to say that is because that's what was holding the man down. Please, sir, please, ma'am, when you come to church, be ready to deal with your sin.
Yeah.
Don't just say, well, my bills are out of whack and I got this problem, my car broke down. But realize somewhere along the way that your sin caused you to make some wrong choices, amen, some wrong turns. You know, even about your own health. I'm going to tell you something. I can tell you flat out from experience, two hot dogs will get my health out of whack. Amen. I got in a fight with two hot dogs, and after 2 days, they let me go. They were the Jesse Jones turn the water red hot dog. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You put them in the bun, you can still see the dye inside of the bun. Man, and if they ain't were good, but they say, you ain't seen nothing yet. Just wait. Got up in my head, they started beating the drum. Boom, 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 boom. Now, I had a health problem, but my health problem was caused by my own indiscretion with hot dog. I knew when they were calling me not to answer them. I ain't listening to you. You see what I'm saying? We make some poor decisions in life, and we blame our outcome as the problem. Did y'all hear what I said? You blame your outcome as the problem, but what prompted you to make the choice, that's what your problem was. Amen. Bible tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. You know what now? I ask the Holy Spirit, every time I go in Moore's country, so Holy Spirit, go in there with me. Lord knows they got some good hot dog. I need the, oh, I need... I'm serious. Y'all just don't know. You just don't know. But thank God he's there. He says, son, go on and get the chicken sandwich. Don't get that. Yes, Jesus. Man, I'm telling you, y'all just don't. Okay, all right, back. All right, we're back. This was the issue. From that, they responded, who is this that forgives sins? One of the gospels said, who is this that forgives sins? Only God can forgive sins. And they said, he blasphemed. You look in the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Luke, it records the four friends and how they brought the man to Jesus. Jesus then says, which is easier? They thought they were putting him on the spot. He put them on the spot. First of all, he read their mind. People talk about he's a mind regulator. He's also a mind reader. God knows what some of y'all are thinking right now. And as Reverend Givens says, some of y'all got some stinking thinking. He know what you're thinking. But then he comes in, replaces the evil with the good. When Christ comes in to forgive your sin, it's not just that the sin is now forgiven by God, it's removed. It no longer holds you in bondage. If we confess our sin, John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. You know, I probably did some things yesterday that I, even though it may not have been a moral sin, it's still where I didn't do what God told me to do. But to know that he's cleansed me, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, not just to forgive our sin. That's the amazing God that you and I serve. You don't have to bring your yesterday into today. Amen. Write that down, somebody. What I just say? You don't have to bring your yesterday into today. Why? This is the day. The Lord, you know it. You know it. Go and tell somebody like you know it. This is the day the Lord made. When they try to bring up your past, you tell them, but I got a future. And my future is in Jesus. I will not allow the things of yesterday to keep me from today. Is that all right? All right, I told y'all I was going to let y'all go 5 minutes ago. All right, here we go. But I want to talk about four groups of people before we close. Number one, the paralyzed. Can't help themselves. Can't help themselves. Whether you want to or not, sometimes you will be in that condition where you cannot help yourself. You may not want to admit it because I'm strong. I like what the young people say. I'm young. One young person looked at me and said, I don't expect much for an old person. You know what I told him? Wait a while. Just wait a while. You know, and some people get offended when, you know, when young people open a door for them. I had a young person open the door for me. I said, thank you very much. Less energy. You got to measure the use of your energy. But every now and then, life will put something on you that it will paralyze you. It will put you in a condition to where you can't respond to things. Have you ever, and Stephen Covey in the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, he talks about this man that was on the train and had kids, and the kids were jumping up and down in the seats. They were just all over the place. And so they got annoyed. People got annoyed. Why don't they do something about these crazy kids? And so they finally tapped the man and said, hey, Why don't you do something about these kids? He said, oh, I'm sorry. My wife just died and I wasn't paying attention. You don't know somebody's condition. And these scribes, yeah, that's who they were. These scribes, you can hear it in the title. These self-righteous people, they're what you call Band-Aid. Now, this is next care, but hey, that's all right. Band-Aid people are quick to come and just stick one on and say, okay, that feel better? They don't really want to cure anything. Any person who thinks a Band-Aid can cure, I need to talk to you about some property, sell you a bridge, you know. It can. And you've got Band-Aid people in life. They come up with these snap answers. Yeah, that's your problem right there. You walk away and say, You don't know which way to turn. Band-Aid people. And then you've got the crowd. They won't help. They know you need help. You just walk on by. Remember the priest the Bible talked about? The man on the roadside on the way to Jericho. Passed by on the other side. Yeah, you got crowds of people like that. See a person in need and they won't stop and help out. And then finally you've got the friends. They can't do it all. They cannot do it all. And you should not expect your friends, if they're really friends, to try to do it all. But they can help. Jesus looked at their faith. He saw their faith. And these are the kind of folk that you call bounty. You know, you got the Band-Aid folk, and then you got the bounty folk. The bounty folk, what are they? They're the quicker pick-up. They knew the man had a need. They said, you know what? We come to pick you up. This is from Sam's Club, by the way. Cheaper. But the whole idea and the whole concept, I know you've got a problem. I cannot solve all of your problem, but what I can do, I can come pick you up. I can carry you for a little while. I don't know the distance that they had to go. I don't know the journey that they had to take. But they said, whatever it takes, I'm going to take you to see the goodness of the Lord. They brought the man to Jesus. Jesus seeing their faith. Their faith. Then Jesus said, your sins are forgiven thee. But now watch what happens. And I'm going to close with this. Watch what happens. When the crowd actually look at the bounty folk in action and see how Jesus responds to that, the crowd, they start magnifying Jesus, not because of what he did, but because God's given this authority. He's given this authority to men. Now, I want to ask you a question. Are you in Christ today? All right. Now, if you're in Christ, you can either be with the crowd, can't do anything, or you can be a bounty person, right? You can try to pick someone up. But guess what's going to happen when you try to pick someone up? You're going to have the power of Jesus in you to not only tell them, I can pick you up, but now you're going to tell them, guess what? Your sins are forgiven. Have anybody ever led someone to Christ? When you lead people to the Lord, you're telling them your sins are forgiven. But now, sometimes when you go to help folk, they're going to be smelly. Sometimes they literally. Woo. I mean, you get drunk off of what they drank. I'm sorry, Holy Spirit. I'm going to get back. All right. But you cannot avoid the fact they need help. If I turn from them, then I'm part of the crowd. If I judge them, then I'm putting a Band-Aid on it. But if I can be at least a bounty, any bounty folk in here, anybody know that I needed to be picked up? And guess what? If I can help someone along the way, then my living will not be in vain. But you got to look beyond the fault. You got to look beyond the fault. I'm going to give you a couple of reasons why you need to look beyond the fault. Number one, you got faults. I know you're good, but you ain't perfect. I know you look all right, but you're not perfect. You got to look beyond the fault. But then the second thing is you don't know when your problem is going to get so great that where now you need somebody. And I believe that that's what the body of Christ is all about. Being about a Christian. Being a believer who trusts in God and who says, if God can forgive me, I can certainly forgive others. Give the Lord a hand clap today. Y'all learn something? Amen. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet as we offer prayer. Lord, thank you again for speaking to our hearts today. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing, Lord, and all that you mean to us. That you look beyond our fault and you see our need. That's the body of Christ in action. We're seeing beyond the circumstance. Not looking at where people are and what people have done, but seeing their need. And know that you're leading us as the body to help them, to respond to them, to pick them up, to move them closer to your grace and mercy. We can only do it through you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Help us to not only be that, but to do that. I pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. While our heads are bowed, there may be someone today that says, preacher, I'm paralyzed. I can't move. I want to move, but I can't. I'm stuck in the same position. I don't want to be like this, but that's all I know. If that person is you, you got some friends here. More importantly, you got the Lord who can help you. You have the Holy Spirit that can speak to your heart and give you peace. Please, as I pray this prayer today, let go of the situation. Yeah. Start looking unto God. Yeah. Yeah. He's your only answer. And the Lord will set you free. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.